Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Before we get started, I do want to recap a few April Fool's Day pranks that our housewives have played on us.
Oh.
So the first one that I almost fell for is Luann posted a picture from LA being like, "Hey guys, I'm moving out of New York City. Beverly Hills ladies, get ready." And for a second, and like, it's like, I know it's April Fool's and like, I register it in the morning, but for whatever reason, I am so gullible throughout the day. So the second I saw it, I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, okay, wait, this is a joke.
Luann would never leave New York.
And she couldn't. There's no way. I also almost fell for one that someone said that Rihanna was dropping a brand new album on Friday. So this is not Housewives related, but I still got very excited about it. And then it was a joke.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Eric.
It's okay.
I know how that must have affected you.
I'll tell you what's not a joke. And that was the Real Housewives of Atlanta season finale.
Yes, we have to get into that. And then we're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules because it's Mexico part two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had that huge fight between Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump. Oh, and most importantly, maybe the Southern Charm trailer for season six dropped, so we need to watch it.
I can't wait.
We also have interviews with Tinsley Mortimer and James Kennedy coming up.
Let's talk Atlanta.
I mean, I feel like we should just get into what this episode was really about.
Absolutely.
And that is the demise of Nene and Cynthia's friendship.
Which we have talked about a little bit, I think last week or the week before, because there has been a lot of stuff going on social media between the two of them. Nene's been pretty vocal about the fact that they're not really talking right now. Cynthia's mentioned it a couple times as well. So, you know, I was super excited about Kenya showing up, and that was sort of the root of the issue, but it sort of went totally beyond just Kenya showing up to this party and became a much bigger issue between Nene and Cynthia, and Nene not feeling like Cynthia really has her back.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel seeing Kenya again?
I mean, it made me so happy to have her back. I just feel like she's the type of person who she's sort of always been present throughout this season, even though she hasn't been there. Like, I feel like just from following her on social media and knowing like the issues she had caused between different people in the past, like I feel like she's always sort of been a shadow, if you will, over this season. And just having her come back made me so excited. But it was sort of like, we didn't really get as much with her as I kind of wanted to.
I, you know, have never been the biggest Kenya fan. And I have to say there was part of me that was really happy for her, seeing her so big and pregnant. And she looked truly joyful, because I know that this is part of life that she's been waiting for a long time, you know, to have a baby. So I did feel like, oh my God, good for Kenya.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also was like, really not feeling it when Nene sort of took a dig at Kenya for being like the size she was given that she's pregnant. That's a low blow.
Also, don't pregnant ladies get a pass? I mean,
100%.
She looks amazing, honey. That body is beat, honey. Beat, beat, beat.
So, not only from that comment, but just from any sort of feuding, it just seems so silly. Like, she's getting ready for this big life event, and Nene's upset because of, what, the baby shower?
Well, let's get into a little bit of this setup, because okay. I think I need to break it down a little bit with you just so I can fully wrap my head around it, because we're hearing different things from different people. The last 10 minutes of the episode really kind of showcased what went down, and we got a little bit of a preview of it at the party when Cynthia sort of whispered in Mike's ear, like, I'm supposed to pretend like I didn't know Kenya was coming. So Cynthia continued to sort of play that argument, like she invited Kenya, but she didn't know she was going to show up. But that's not what that audio between her and Candy said.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
I'm Mike.
I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page. Setting up how Kenya got here.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
That was insane.
It was totally insane. And Candy warned her. She was like,
I mic'd.
And Cynthia was like, whatever, we need to figure out how we're going to like handle this situation.
I think that's the most surprising part to me is, if you've been on the show for this long, you should know by now how to avoid a hot mic situation.
Of course.
And it was crazy to me that Cynthia twice was caught in a hot mic situation over this.
Right. So then, according to Candy in her confessional, she knew Kenya was coming, but Kenya wanted to surprise Cynthia. That's what she sort of said in the confessional, but then it sort of it comes out that Cynthia just kind of knew this whole time.
And why is it a big deal?
That's the thing. I don't think, to Nene's point, it was a big deal that she showed up. It was that Cynthia did not give Nene warning. And, you know, Nene kept driving back to, like, every other time we've been in a situation, you know, you say, oh, we can't talk about Kenya, or you come to Kenya's defense. And then when a situation like this arises, you don't have the courtesy to tell me, as your best friend, as your sister, like, hey, just a heads up, Kenya's going to be coming to this party. You know, she's my friend. I want her there. I hope that's okay with you. I think it was as simple as that. That's all Nene was looking for.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, certainly the lying and the covering up is not cool on Cynthia's part. But at the same time, it's her party. She should be able to invite whoever she wants.
What do you think about Kenya hopping on the mic when Cynthia was giving her speech?
Okay, that was weird, right? And very Kenya to me.
Yeah.
But then what made it more uncomfortable is Nene putting poor Greg in the middle of that situation, because Cynthia right after was like, Greg, Nene, come up here. And Greg wanted to. And Nene's like, nope, we're good. We're good. It was just so uncomfortable.
Greg Leakes is in the house. Where is Greg Leakes? Greg has not. Greg, come here, baby. Come here. I want you to come, Greg.
Come, baby.
No, honey, we're fine.
Come, baby.
Come on, Greg.
It was so important to her that Greg was there, given everything that he's been through, and the fact that he was like, I'm going to show up and be there because I'm friends with her. I care about her. I'm proud of her, like, let me be present. And, you know, Cynthia just wanted to celebrate in that moment with Greg, like, this is what I've accomplished. Look at you, Greg, you're a survivor. Like, come up here and celebrate that with me. And Nene was just like, absolutely not. And it was just, it was so awkward.
Yeah.
It made me so uncomfortable.
So then it all sort of ends in that sit down at the end of the episode.
Which I thought was kind of awkward, only because Nene was like, I want Tanya here to support me, which I understand because it seemed like the whole situation was really affecting Nene.
But at the same time, she and Tanya have not been getting along this season.
Right. They've had their own sort of set of issues. And it's sort of like, I think we're going to see a little bit more of Tanya and her perspective in the reunion. So that's going to be interesting to see. But it's sort of like, I understand a little bit why Candy was there, because she was sort of a part of the whole orchestration. But Tanya, it's sort of like, I think someone else maybe should have been present with Nene to sort of back her up and sort of call out Cynthia and Candy for their part in the whole situation.
Yeah. Well, so the reunion super tease aired, but you guys also need to go to BravoTV.com because there are two other previews up for the reunion, and they are intense. Like, one of them is Nene calling Cynthia insecure because of all of her, like, Instagramming about Mike.
Right. I mean, it's really interesting. And I saw this on, I think it was Reddit pretty recently, about how with not just Atlanta, but with a lot of the franchises right now, the sort of, like, queen bee is really being turned on by the rest of the cast. And in this case, it's a little bit, and especially from the teaser that we saw for the reunion, it seems like everyone's against Nene. Nene even, like, yells at Andy at one point. She's like, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. And he's like, okay. So it's just really interesting to see how, you know, people can sort of turn against someone who was once really kind of the center of it all. I mean, Nene was so close with Cynthia. She was so close with Portia. And it seems like the two of them are really not on her side anymore. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah.
So we also have a bonus episode that came out on Monday, and it basically lays out everything from our Real Housewives of Atlanta after show. So if you need something to catch up on everything that went down this season before the reunion airs next week, definitely check it out.
Eric, do you know what winter, spring, summer, and fall all have in common?
Well, they're all seasons.
No, that's when we get our FabFitFun boxes. You guys, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box.
Yes, and each box contains full-size products that are easily worth over $200. You can even customize your box and choose your products, or you can be surprised with each one.
Since Eric and I are practically twins, we both received a Sip by Swell water bottle in our spring box, which we're absolutely obsessed with.
I'm constantly sipping on it through the podcast recordings, and I'm even sipping on it right now.
This honestly is a great way to discover new brands and products that may become your new obsessions.
It's definitely a better way to shop.
Sign up for FabFitFun today. Make sure to use our code DISH to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and be sure to use our promo code DISH for $10 off your first box.
That's over $200 worth of products for only $39.99.
Just be sure to use our code DISH. That's D-I-S-H to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box today.
Vanderpump Rules Mexico Trip Part 2.
Oh, I loved this episode.
It was so good.
So much. Like, honestly, one of my definitely like, top five favorite Vanderpump Rules episodes.
Top five?
Yes, because first of all, love a vacation episode. Second of all, anytime there's just a lot of drunk antics, I'm in, and that's all this episode was. Like, I want to live in that party at the nightclub that they were at.
Absolutely. I mean, just the state that Ariana was in by the end of the night is just like, that is perfection.
Right. What did you think about Jax saying to Stassi, you know, I want to get back together. I don't know. I'm still in love with you.
I just want you to know I still have feelings for you.
You're so f***ing lame.
And
you're so f***ing funny. Just,
I know. I can't even get to it. I'm sorry. No, seriously.
I thought that was pretty funny.
It was so funny.
He's like, I like that he is just being playful with her and just seeing how far the two of them have come in their relationship to be able to just play around with each other like that. And then for Stassi to even go to him for advice was just like, what?
Right.
You know, and I mean, but what he was saying was pretty legitimate. You know, I think he gave her some really good advice, and we love Bo so much. He loves Bo so much. And I think Stassi, you know, as we see later on in the episode, keeps running into this weird hiccup with him. And I think Jax was just trying to be like, look, you know, this is a great guy. Don't mess it up. And she kind of does.
But can I say, you know, I've met Brittany, love her, love Bo, but part of me does want to see Jax and Stassi back together.
No way.
Like, I want a reality show, like a spinoff, but it's more like 90 Day Fiancé, except they have to be forced to live together as a married couple for 1 year.
I feel like that could still happen. 1 year seems a little long. Let's put them in like a Big Brother house for like a month and see how they could ever live together.
That's
again.
True. A month, and I feel like someone would not end up intact.
I think in that situation, Jax would probably do it. But I think Stassi, she's seen the light. She's seen what else is out there, and she's had someone like Bo. I don't think she could ever go back to Jax.
That's true.
I don't know.
Okay, but so back to the night out in Mexico. Everyone making out. Ariana and Kristen Doty making out.
Right.
These two sworn enemies at one time.
What is it about being out and drunk with your friends that makes everyone want to make out?
Because who doesn't like kissing?
That's true.
And I think kissing feels better when you're drunk, too.
So I actually, over the weekend, was out with Danny and a bunch of his friends, and two of his friends are engaged to be married. And at one point, we were all like posing for pictures. It was a lot of his friends from home, and you know, we were all kind of together, and we had been drinking, you know, in the afternoon or whatever. And for some reason, Kelly and I have always really gotten along, and she's engaged to Danny's friend Steph. There is a picture of Kelly and I smooching that got taken that day.
So you'll kiss Kelly, but you won't make out with me.
It was just a peck, a mere peck on the lips, but we like got the pictures the next day, and I was like, I really don't remember doing that, because it was one of those like photo series where like it was like a group picture. We're at this bar, everyone's sort of like together and moving around and like posing over, and I guess I must have just been like, Kelly,
Also, when you started that story, I was picturing two male couples, and so I was getting a lot more turned on by the story.
lesbian couple, which I was sort of all of the, like, people I could kiss, this is, like, the least bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It's fine. So I don't even know why I question why people want to make out when they're drunk.
Because you do it.
I'm literally that person.
Okay, so Ariana, we have never seen her this drunk before.
Never.
And I just like how she's at one point like, I'm gonna black out.
She planned for it.
I'm gonna black out. And then when she's on the floor doing snow angels and, you know, just carpet, and Tom says, I'm on the phone with the cute police.
I'm on the phone with the cute police. Ariana, they're about to arrest you.
Oh, I know. That was so, beautiful. Sweet. It was so sweet. Because I also, like, you know how some couples, and we a little bit see it with Stassi and Beau at the end of this episode, you know, when one of the people in the relationship gets too drunk.
Yes.
And then the other person starts to, like, get mad or resent them or is like, I can't believe you're behaving like that. Like, they kind of go against what they're doing. Like, Sandoval just, like, let her do
it. He said, I love it when she's like this. Eric, that's what I need. Someone who loves it when I get wasted.
I know. And then when she was out by the pool and she was just making zero sense in anything that she was saying, like, I have no idea what she was talking about.
Each person has their own timeline. Sometimes you're like, that's not fair. Like, God bless that we're 100 years old.
But, like, okay, not to digress too much, but why do people get mad when the other is more drunk?
I don't know. And I think it'd be a good question to ask Stassi, because I think her issue with Beau wasn't even like how drunk he gets. It was just that, like, when she wants to go to bed, she wants to go to bed and he wants to keep partying. But I think maybe it's sort of like you run the risk of kind of embarrassing not only yourself, but then I guess your significant other too. But I don't know. There is sort of a level of trust and sort of something that you have to just kind of let it go and be like, you know what? Like, if it's once in a while, let it be.
Yeah.
Right?
With the Stassi and Beau thing, though, and I think I said this last week, though, there is, like, a real parallel between what they're going through and the whole Katie and Schwartz thing. Because I think Stassi's real issue is, I want you to also think it's equally as fun to go home with me.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I did really feel bad for her and him, you know, with the fight that they had, because I think the tiny issue that it was about, which was, you know, like, come back to bed, like, I don't want you to be out, like, it kind of snowballed into this really much larger, like, situation where she was talking about past relationships and she can't do that again and he doesn't feel like she trusts him. And it sort of, I think, unearthed a lot of other issues that maybe they haven't discussed in their relationship. And I was watching it with Danny, and he said something at one point, you know, Stassi was kind of like, I think it was the night before the fight. They woke up that morning and Stassi was like, why do I get mad at you when I'm drunk? And Danny was sort of like, is this us? Is this our relationship? And I was like, a little bit, I think. Because, like, I think it's also when you're drunk and you're just kind of, like, not yourself, you know, the one person you can a little bit take things out on is your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever, you know, because the next morning, like, they have to forgive you and you have to, like, move on. And so I think it's just like this weird psychological reaction to being like, well, I'm going to just get mad at you because I can. And it's like, we're going to have to get over it.
But not only that, because I was saying this to Aaron, that when I'm out drinking without him, in the back of my mind, I know I need to get myself home. So, like, that will limit. But when I'm with him, he's going to keep me safe.
Right.
He's going to protect me. So I'm, like, balls to the wall, which is, like, not great for him at the end of the night.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, imagine that times two, because that's when me and Danny go out. And so sort of we're both like, whatever. Like, we're together. Who cares what happens?
We'll take care of ourselves.
It'll be fine. I checked my bank account on Sunday morning. I was like, how many Ubers did we take? Like, but, like, hey, we were fine. But, I mean, you know, going back to Stassi and Beau, I think the root of the problem is just that the two of them really, really care about each other. And Stassi, I think, feels so safe and protected with him that she does just want to be, it's as simple as she just wants to go to bed with him every night and wants him by her side. And I understand that because she wasn't really protected in her other relationships. And she's really kind of totally changed who she is being with him. So I think it's a little bit like she doesn't want to lose that sort of real authentic magic that the two of them have. But I think it's a lot of pressure on Beau too.
Right.
And he's starting to crack a little bit.
Guys, I talked to DJ James Kennedy. I really wanted to know about his relationship with his mom and how that has sort of manifested into where they are today. We talk about his new podcast, It's Not About the Podcast, and why there's tension with Jax that will make the Vanderpump Rules reunion possibly more interesting. Everyone, we are here with DJ James Kennedy. How are you?
DJ James Kennedy in the house.
That's how I'll always refer to you. What's going on? Just my favorite.
I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
This season is pretty crazy, a Vanderpump Rules.
It's another crazy one. It's another crazy one.
I want to know, how are you and the rest of the group right now?
So it depends who we're talking about. I'd be like, no, yes, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes. That's me. And
anyway, he's pointing to like a poster of the cast.
Sorry, I forgot this is a podcast. No, I'm pretty good. I'm always good with Tom Sandoval. You know, we're good. Sheena, Ariana, you know, the gang. I'm sure people can guess who I'm not good with.
Right. Yeah. Did you hear from Schwartz after calling him a weasel?
No, but I'm sure we're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, love you, Schwartz. Sorry about that whole weasel thing.
He doesn't seem like a grudge holder, though.
No, he's definitely not a grudge holder. Neither am I, really.
Yeah. I want to know what's happening with the music right now.
I'm killing it in the music game, I think. You know, I've been DJing a lot of shows all across North America. Really excited about it. I've gone to Cleveland, Dallas, Fort Worth. I've gone to Scottsdale, Vegas, New York, Boston. Like, I've just been everywhere. It's crazy. East Coast to West Coast. It's really exciting. You know, from small clubs to really small clubs, but it's still really sick, you know. A big crowd have been showing up to come see me. Lots of girls, lots of cougars, older, like the mothers come out because they watch Vanderpump Rules, you know, so they come to the club and see me DJ and they're like, oh my God, you're so tall in person. And then they're like, oh my God, like I watch a show, I haven't been to a club in years. And I'm like, I bet. But it's really, they have the time of their life, you know, we're taking photos. I like to meet all the people and yeah, you know, it's dope.
Okay, well, since you did bring it up, if you were single, what would your age ceiling be?
Well, you know, I think after Kristen Doty, I'm like done dating up, you know? I'll just date down from now on, get a younger girl.
Not too young.
Raquel's perfect age.
Right.
Know? Speaking of Raquel, I miss her a lot. I wish she was here with me right now.
Oh, is she not in New York this time?
No, she had to, well, she had to look after our new puppy.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. I love him. Shout out, Graham. And, yeah, she just got back from Paris Fashion Week, killing the game over there. So, you know, I didn't want to make her fly out to New York just for a couple of days. You know, I'm working too.
Yeah. But so things are good on the relationship front.
Yeah. Couldn't be better.
That's nice.
Yeah.
How is your mom?
Mom is doing good. Mom's doing good. She's at home right now. She was going to come, but then, like, I don't know. This was like a spur of the moment trip because... I think I was meant to do Watch What Happens like last week or something, and then I had to cancel because I had a show actually. And then, like, you know, when you're under contract for like a DJ gig, like, you know, tickets are sold and I can't cancel on these people. Not that, you know, because Andy is the most important, but tickets were sold. So I'm here this week, and yeah, she couldn't come out this week, but I love my mum so much and she's amazing, you know. She really filmed a lot more than I thought she was this year. And, like, that took me by surprise because, like, she didn't really tell me about, like, a lot of the, like, you know, filming days.
She didn't?
No, I mean, like, no, I'd be walking into Sir and then I'd see my mum come out and I'm like, hi, what are you doing here? You know, a little sneaky, but, yeah.
Whatever. Do you think it's helped, because you guys have really kind of gone through it on the show this season, has it helped or hurt to kind of rewatch those eps?
Definitely, it all helps. You know, this is all, nothing hurts. Watching it back with my mom, I think it's cute that we've got this footage. I think that we did talk about real topics. And, you know, I've had some amazing feedback. I've got a lot of mothers that message me about about it. And, like, you know, when I say that, I'm being dead serious,
yeah.
You know, about issues they're going through. Look, this is a message I got from a mom that said, over the years, I've judged you. I'm really sorry. I'm a mom that put my kids through divorce. I forced my son to become a man of the house at age of 13. I saw his life through your perspective. I'm so sorry. Thank you for opening my eyes. Take care, James. I'm going to be a better mom to my son from now on.
Like, that's making me a little teary.
Yeah, like, I read this back and it was like, you know, it hit me hard. And this is just one of hundreds of messages I get. So, I think that I'm projecting realness through this show, and I think that watching it back with my mom, like, we know what we're doing here, and we're not embarrassed, we don't worry about what the f*** people are thinking about me, you know what I mean? I'm in New York City, I'm DJing shows around the world right now, like,
life's
on.
Good.
Life's good, and, you know, I love my mom for everything that she is.
Yeah. How is your brother? Is he still working at Sir?
Yeah, Harry's still working at Sir. Not as much, honestly, because he's a soccer trainer as well.
Oh,
he
cool.
teaches little kids soccer. On this really cool team in LA. I don't know too many details about it, but he does that most of the days of the week. So, you know, Sir is like a nice extra money maker. But yeah, he's still working at Sir, busing and stuff. And yeah.
Awesome.
There's some other people that might be working at Sir too, but I can't say anything.
What do you mean?
No, I can't say anything. Yeah, you'll figure it out sooner or later.
Oh, no.
It's later news.
All right, you just tell me when we're done recording.
Okay,
so the reunion has to be coming up soon.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that.
Are you?
Me and Jax are going to get into it, aren't we? No, I'm just kidding, we're not. But we probably will.
Really? You too? I feel like you guys have been cool this season. I guess something happens later.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like he's like the glue to this conspiracy against James Kennedy. Well, him and Katie, obviously. But Katie's a bit, she's very out there with it, you know. Drax is more behind closed doors. And yeah, the reunion's going to be interesting, okay?
But can I ask?
It's a heartbeat in just thinking about it now.
Why do you feel like he is part of this conspiracy? Because I'm just going to say, just from a viewer standpoint, it seems like he is over everything?
Yeah, he's over it. He's like an old man that's getting married now. He's planning his wedding. He's kind of just like, oh yeah, I'm on a new fucking wave kind of thing with Bo. And he can enjoy that fucking wave.
So what is one thing that you sort of want to clear up with the group, if anything?
I don't want to clear anything up. Yeah. Everyone knows where they stand with me. And yeah, everything's good.
Cool.
It's all good.
Tell us about It's Not About the Podcast.
Oh, It's Not About the Podcast. Yeah. So basically, it's just a music. It's a little podcast that I started. It's like I bring on upcoming music talent out of LA. You know, I talk about why they're making music, what made them want to come to LA to make music, and why Los Angeles, you know, why do you want to be a star here? And like, it's just interesting hearing from so many people that haven't made it, or like that are doing pretty big things. Like, you know, like half of the friends that I've had on, you know, Jesse Montana, The Blame, you know, these are my friends, and yeah, not verified with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers, but great fans in the background, and they're playing at like some of the top venues around LA consistently all year round. Like, it's amazing. So it's just like, you know, is it really cool that you can still be in the music industry and the music biz without really becoming some kind of massive star? But everyone's on the rise in LA, and I love to hear that story. So It's Not About the Podcast, it's a lot about that. I like to debut people's new music. I play a little bit of mine. I do like a rap freestyle challenge. There's a space game. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the artist of Rick and Morty like drew the whole artwork for my thing, and I record the podcast at their studios, which is really lit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so shout out Starburns Industries and Himalaya app.
All right, so lastly, tell us what we can expect for the rest of the season.
It's definitely James Kennedy and his element.
Yay.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Is that it?
That's
Thanks.
It. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I'll be back soon.
Eric, I have some news.
Oh boy, I'm scared.
I finally found the perfect fitting bra.
It's about time.
You know, a lot of companies say that they have the best fit, but Third Love truly delivers. With more than 70 sizes, including their famous half cups, Third Love is making comfortable bras for millions of women of all shapes and sizes. They get such a good fit because they have their signature Fit Finder quiz, which helps you identify your breast size and shape and takes less than a minute. And it's not just me. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. Once you've made your order, every customer has 60 days to wear a bra, wash it, and put it to the test. If you don't love it, you can send it back, no questions asked. Third Love will even donate the bra to a woman in need.
I love a company that gives back.
Generally, I hate wearing bras and find them to be totally uncomfortable, but Third Love's was great. The straps didn't bother me at all, and it fit perfectly. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. And right now, they're offering our Daily Dish listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/dailydish now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/dailydish for 15% off today. Okay, so Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we finally got to the episode that we saw a glimpse of in the season premiere. It's that huge last really fight between Kyle Richards and Lisa Vanderpump. And I want to say now that in real time, Lisa Vanderpump's cocktail garden opened at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. And only Camille Grammer was there. The rest of the Bev Hills ladies were not.
I know. I mean, I wasn't totally surprised by that, but I was a little bit. I think it just goes to show where everyone stands right now. And my first thought being like, oh, Camille's the only one there, was I can't wait for this reunion. Do you think the other ladies were invited?
I sincerely doubt it.
We did see that she had the support of the Vanderpump Rules cast, though, so at least that was something.
Right. Well, God, I would hope so.
Before we get into sort of the drama and the major fight, because obviously that's a huge, huge topic in this episode, I wanted to ask you if you've ever heard my Soul Cycle story?
No.
So I am, like, triggered whenever I see things like what we saw in this, like, fundraiser that was for Vanderpump Dogs that Teddy organized. With my previous job, it was a PR company, so I was working with, like, a lot of girls who were very into spin and Soul Cycle and, you know, all of those kind of health nuts type of things. So we got a free pass to Soul Cycle. One of them had, like, a deal that, like, our whole office could sign up for a free, you know, thing. I had never been to Soul Cycle before. I'm not a super, like, active, athletic person, you know? Like, I don't really enjoy exercising the way that I should and that way that my, like, doctor tells me that I should as I get older. But I was like, you know what? Let me give Soul Cycle a try. Everybody talks about it. It's like, I'll be fine. Like, I used to hike all the time in LA. Like, I think I will be fine. So we get to Soul Cycle. And, you know, it's just, like, super bright when you walk in. Everyone seems to be, like, totally ready to go. You go into the room and it's, like, dark. And there are all these bikes set up. And you see the people who, like, flock to the front who are, like, the Soul Cycle people. Like, that is their thing. So I was like, well, I'm going to go a little bit further to the back. Like, you guys can go up to the front. Like, I just want to be a little bit away from everything. So I, like, hook myself into the thing. I did not like to begin with how my feet were, like, strapped in. And there was no just, like, stepping off the bike. Like, you are hooked in there. So I have my water and my towel. I'm like, all right, let's go. So we get going and the music gets going. And I'm like, all right, this is okay. Maybe 10 minutes in, I start to be like, I don't know how I feel about this. This is a little too high impact for me. So I go to take a sip of my water. I drop my water. So now I'm hooked into the bike. I have no access to water anymore. And I'm starting to feel like a little lightheaded. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have the water. So, like, at least, you know, I'm sweating. Like, let me, you know, wipe my forehead with my towel. So I go to grab my towel, drop the towel. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I have no longer any supplies that will help me survive this experience. I don't know. I think because I was, like, totally getting exhausted, like, 15, 20 minutes in, like, and I remember at one point the instructor came over and was like, how are you feeling? And I was like, I'm fine. And then she turned up the resistance on my bike. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I did not ask for this. Like, let me be in control of this situation. So now I no longer have supplies. The resistance on my bike is so high. So at a certain point, I saw one other woman get off her bike and, like, leave the room. And I was like, oh, I can just, like, walk out of here at any time. Like, it's totally fine. So I leave, go out of the room, and it's, of course, you walk out, and it's super bright in there. Next thing I know, like, three employees from the front, like, flock to me. And they're like, are you okay? Is everything okay? And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I just do not want to be in there anymore. And they were like, okay, well, why don't you sit down? Like, are you fine? I was like, yeah. I was like, I'll be okay. I was like, I just don't feel great. Like, I'm kind of lightheaded. But, like, and they were like, okay, we'll just sit down. We'll get you some water. Next thing I know, they bring me, like, these injury release forms that I have to sign to make sure that I'm not going to, like, sue them for something. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not injured. Like, I just, like, really hated doing that. Like, I'm all good. So I signed the release form. They followed up with me the next day, making sure that I was okay, that I felt fine. I was like, oh, I'm good. I was like, I just will never go to SoulCycle ever again. Thank you. And they ended up sending me another free class, which I never redeemed. So needless to say, I was very triggered by this episode, like watching the girls go through it. And like Denise was like, oh my God, I'm not used to this. Like I do Pilates, but I'm not used to this high intensity situation. So I didn't like that part of the episode.
I think my style is more like Erica Girardi's, which is I'm dying inside, but I won't let anyone see that. So I just keep like a poker face.
I totally believe it. I mean, I commend you for that because I was just like wearing my heart on my sleeve and like my feelings on my face. And I was just like, absolutely not. So that at least is a light way for us to go into the rest of this episode.
Gosh, it just was so crazy. I'll be honest. When I've been really forthright with my feelings that I do think Lisa Vanderpump played a part in Puppygate and making sure that that all got out. But I did not know how to feel when she's saying to Kyle, pleading with her, I swear on my children's lives, on Jiggy's life.
I know.
That I did not do this. And I was like, now I don't know how to feel. Because, I mean, that's a long way to go for a lie.
Kyle, I swear on my children's life, on Jiggy's life, I or nobody I know would give a story to Radar about Dorit.
Absolutely. I really was almost uncomfortable watching this fight because it felt way too close to home. And I feel like the editing this season has been so good with like Lisa and Kyle and their relationship because there's been so many moments this season where they're just like laughing and having fun and everything seems good. And we all know what it was building up to. So actually seeing the fight really play out and see the way that like Lisa immediately reacted to Kyle just being like, her first reaction was like, well, why didn't you defend me? You know, like she didn't even say, well, I didn't put that story out there. Like she was just sort of like, wait a minute. Like, why wouldn't you come to my defense? And I almost don't blame Kyle because that lunch was really uncomfortable too because everyone was just kind of jumping on Kyle and expecting her to throw Lisa under the bus when she really didn't have any proof or evidence that she did leak the story. So I don't know. I mean, I definitely think, and then just with the way Ken swept in and got involved and how upset he was with Kyle.
And also the thing I do have to keep in mind is I've watched Real Housewives swear on children's lives. Other Bravo celebrities too. Mm-hmm. Kristen Doty swore on her family's life. She didn't sleep with Jax.
Right.
So, I mean, people do often grab for that. Which, by the way, I wouldn't fuck around with that.
Mm-mm. No way.
No way.
No way. I don't really know where my beliefs stand, but, like, that's a phrase that I would just never put out there into the universe. Like, absolutely not. It's too much. I mean, I do feel like this fight, it was so final between Lisa and Kyle because I think for Lisa, it just spoke to a fundamental issue that, like, she doesn't think Kyle really, you know, has her back. And she sort of doesn't. But sort of going back to, like, the actual root of this issue, which, like, this whole fight kind of came out of this Radar Online article. And it's mentioned that Lisa has contacts at Radar and that she's probably leaked things to Radar before. And she kind of specifically says, if you think that I've been paid to tell a story, like, you're wrong. That's wrong. So that's not totally saying that she didn't tell a story.
Okay, 1,000%. I was going to bring up that Lisa's been retweeting the guy from Radar Online, I guess, like, the one that runs the company, that, like, no, we never paid for a story from her.
Right.
And to me, I'm like, that's a semantics game.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, I believe that they're not going to pay her. she's getting something out of it, and so are they. If this is true.
Right. Well, so there's no question, I think, about the fact that the story was brought to radar online. But going back to sort of what my theory was a couple weeks ago, that perhaps Blizzard or Sessa had a larger role in this situation than perhaps anyone is really considering. Everyone's putting it on Lisa, given her past and given previous instances where she may have spoken to the press. There's still a chance, I think, that it was someone else from Vanderpump Dogs, because she was very open about it, I think, with her staff, talking about how she felt, and they kept talking about how in the Radar Online article, it was so clearly her words. It was just like the way she says things. So who's to say she didn't say those things to another employee who then brought that story to Radar Online?
Yeah.
What if it was Ken?
I mean...
What if it was Jiggy? Well, so I feel like there's no coming back from this fight at this point with Kyle and Lisa. And I know Kyle has spoken in the press recently being like, I have reached out to Lisa. I haven't heard back. Maybe Kyle has some remorse at this point. And I think she mentioned in her interview, like, she wanted to try to turn the fight around, but it was just, it had gotten too out of hand. And I don't think there was any going back after a certain point.
I mean, this just has me so ready for the reunion, because I need these people to be forced to sit down and talk about their feelings.
Absolutely. I also kind of felt weird about when Lisa Rinna was talking about it with Harry, and Harry sort of had that whole, like, propaganda angle. Like, I started to sort of buy into what he was saying. I was like, oh, that does seem pretty specific to how this situation is at least being interpreted, you know, that like the whole point of propaganda is that so the person who's actually behind it all is putting out these messages that like actually ends up telling the story that they want to tell. And that was sort of getting more press for Vanderpump Dogs and all of these other things that ultimately do benefit Lisa.
Give the drama as propaganda that is being spread.
Oh,
because that's the use of propaganda, is to drive a wedge between groups, between people, to destabilize the group so that the person who is actually has created the propaganda can come in and take over.
But Lisa kind of brings it up when she's fighting with Kyle, that she's sort of like, what does this story actually benefit? And Kyle says it straight up, you know, she's like, well, this actually does benefit you. And Lisa's like, it doesn't really, like, it doesn't really help me in my situation. And she was like, I went to TMZ and I spoke on it the next day trying to squash the issue. But was that enough, or was that what she should have done? Next week, there's definitely going to be a lot of fallout from this fight. So I really am curious to see how these other women react when Kyle brings the situation to them. Megan, let's take a look at the Southern Charm Season 6 trailer.
This season on Southern Charm.
Oh, look at those hounds over there.
I love them.
You're trying to squish all the grapes?
All right, let's do it.
You are in the most perfect pose.
Simba.
Yes.
Have you decided what you wanted to have here, ma'am?
The usual.
You gotta get a cheeseburger with no tomato on it.
Chef, it's starting to turn into a huge asshole again.
Why are you being a douche?
You f***ing blink.
It's like missing something.
I think it's missing an Indian person that's good at cooking.
What if Catherine and Whitney got back together?
It's summer.
Everybody in the f***ing other
day. Yes.
If something were to ever happen to Palmer, you cannot dwell on
it. I want to make this work.
You only see him every few months?
It's...
There's no future there, right?
Alert! Alert! Ah! I've been a great f***ing friend to you. It's off right now. I'm not even talking.
You're a f***ing joke right now. Sorry.
I think you're a bad influence on Austin.
I'm not gonna f***ing die on the cross for you, man.
You called Catherine an egg donor.
I
I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I
right.
don't.
Eliza, I think she has a general trust problem with everybody.
If he goes to jail, I'll be a single mom.
It's just, like, overwhelming.
You need to check your goddamn pants for a vagina, because you're being a pussy.
Ma'am, we have to leave.
Patricia, the truth will come out.
Hey, relax.
You don't have to push me.
Chelsea!
Stop! I can't. They're carrying her out.
Can't push me so hard.
She's pissed.
Yeah, I'm calling the cops.
I mean, I just hope we're not all subpoenaed to have to go and talk about all this shit.
I loved that trailer so much.
Well, it looks like Ashley is back with a vengeance.
I mean, I have to say, even in the office, I think that was the number one question to, you know, the people in charge of making Southern Charm. Are we going to see Ashley? Because she made such an impact last season. I mean, talk about loving to hate someone.
Well, I think what's interesting, too, is the way the reunion last season ended, it seemed like everyone was almost starting to rally behind Ashley and be like, look, you need to get out of the relationship that you're in. Like, you're a victim and you don't even really see it. And it seemed like they were almost starting to get through to her. But it also seems like, according to this teaser, they don't quite get through enough for her to not be causing some trouble.
Right. Okay, other big takeaway was Catherine and Whitney had sex again.
I mean, I kind of am here for that.
No. No.
I don't know.
No.
Well, I mean, just because they had sex does not mean they're getting back together. So it seems like some rumors are spiraling out of perhaps what was a drunken one-night stand or something like that, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, then we get, like, some drama with the boys, too. It seems like Shep and Austin, things are not kosher between those two.
Shep just has a hard time getting along with the guys.
Who is he calling white trash?
Catherine.
It's Catherine.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Why? I need to know. Well, it's, they have, you know, what seems to be a pretty good friendship.
Yeah, but then Catherine and Danny are fighting, too.
Right.
We're going to have to watch and see. I'm ready for this season.
I am too.
So we have an interview with Tinsley Mortimer. She's definitely had more of a voice this season, and we get into why it's her favorite one so far. Also, we talk about Dale, because who doesn't want to know more about Dale and her dating life? And we're also talking about Scott and what the other housewives think about their relationship. Okay, we're here with Tinsley Mortimer. How are you doing?
I'm great.
So your tagline this season is game, set, now I need a match. So yes. Obviously the question is, what's going on with your relationship? I feel like it's a nod to that, right?
You know, it's certainly a nod to it. I have, you know, our relationship it's, you know, up and downs, and he lives in Chicago. He's working on Coupon Cabin, and that's his big focus. So it's difficult. It's difficult to be with somebody that's not in the same town with you, and definitely when they're working really hard on a company that means a lot to him, that it just doesn't make for the best ideal situation for a relationship. So I'm pretty emotional this season, and with other things too, not just my relationship with Scott, but also other things that are going on in my life. But I do feel that this season, you know, I have more of a voice that I came from the seasons before sort of more broken. And in the season, I figured out sort of getting back to me and who I am and becoming myself again, because I kind of felt like I'd lost that a little bit. So I feel like I have a voice this season more and stand up some of the other girls a little bit more. And they don't just probably, you know, treat me like a kid sister the way they do a lot of the times. I feel like they listen to me now a little bit. So this was my favorite season for sure. I mean, definitely for me to do. I just, you know, getting closer relationships too to some of the other girls and that I hadn't been with before. And, you know, it's great, but it always is. It's a big whirlwind of emotions and drama and fun, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I was curious because, you know, coming into the season without Carol, who was kind of your buddy the last couple, was that nerve-wracking at all?
I mean, you know, I definitely, not having Carol there was, I think, something that it maybe helped me to make some friendships with some of the other girls that I hadn't before, because I definitely was very close to Carol and we had, you know, what I thought was a really good friendship. So I definitely leaned on her a lot. And now this season, not having her there, I think it sort of I branched out a little bit. But, you know, I mean, I always was, you know, had Sonia, though, too, as my, you know, sort of sidekick a little bit. And she's we're good this season, too, I think. I mean, for the most part. I don't remember exactly, but I feel like we're buddies again. You know, we've had our moments. We fight like sisters, but I think this season we're better.
Well, as you're sort of going through, you know, you're in New York, you're doing, well, you're always in New York, but, you know, doing press and stuff. Who of the ladies do you still chat with regularly, even though you're not filming?
Well, you know, I mean, I chat with several of them. I mean, definitely, Sonia and Bethany and Dorinda occasionally. And I mean, it depends, you know, honestly, we after we finished filming, I feel like we all kind of just want a break from each other and we just do not speak for a little bit. But now that, you know, it's coming back on the air and, you know, and we're seeing each other a lot. But I've been spending some time in Palm Beach recently. So just because, you know, it's freezing here in New York and I don't have to be here right now. So I keep in touch a little bit, just, you know, text and stuff with some of the girls. Yeah.
Are you guys in any group chats?
Sometimes we do group chats, yes, but it's not often. It's more specifically about something that we're all complaining about or something. I don't know. Maybe one of the girls has been left off that group chat because we're complaining about her. But yeah, it's no. So yeah, no, we do a couple, but it's not an ongoing group chat now.
Yeah. So Dale is back this season, and I feel like we see a little bit more of her.
Yes, my mom is back a lot this season, and she, you know, God, I mean, I love her to death, but she always gives me a hard time and is always very opinionated, but she's hilarious, and she's just, you know, we're just very, very close. We're like, you know, we're sort of more like sisters in a way than we are mother and daughter, and she, you know, she's got her opinions of where I should be in my life right now, and it's not exactly where she wants it to be. So it always makes us butt heads. But in the end, I know she has my best interest at heart and she just wants me to have a great, happy life. And she thinks that those things include a husband and a baby. And, you know, and I can't say that she's wrong with that. But I just sometimes, if I'm not exactly where she wants to be in my life right now, I'm trying, you know, I'm trying my best. And I'm doing everything I can to live the life I want to live. And, you know, but mothers, they're always going to criticize. And I criticize her, though, too. I mean, I give it right back to her. So, I mean, that's where she probably gets it from. It's probably more from me and my sister coming at her. So she feels like she's allowed to do it. We all do it to each other.
Is she equally hard on your sister?
Oh, yes. It's the same. Oh, my God. We're all, the three of us together are just, it's too much. We're better in, like, just two, me and my sister together, or me and my mom together. So when it's the three of us together, my God, the walls shake. I mean, it's just like it's a lot of noise, a lot of yelling, and a lot of just, yeah, we're just kind of crazy sometimes.
Does Dale date?
No, Dale does not date, and she should date, and I really wish she would. She's gorgeous, and she's super fun, but she doesn't, I think, you know, really honestly, she's very focused on her daughters and getting them off and married, and so that she can, feels like then she can finally relax and then date more. But she feels very uncomfortable dating, so she doesn't like it.
Yeah. I know that later this season we're going to see a lot of the ladies sort of questioning your relationship with Scott. Do you feel this added pressure of having so many voices giving their opinions?
Well, you know, it's difficult to discuss a relationship with your friends that, you know, really aren't around the relationship so much. I mean, a lot of the time I've spent with Scott has not been with them. You know, it's been in Chicago or on trips in other places. And so it's hard when people give opinions on something that they don't really know much about. And I feel like I'm constantly defending the relationship a lot of the times with them because they might hear a couple times if something went wrong, but a lot of times you don't share with your girlfriends when things are going super well. You sort of share when something has gone wrong. So, but it doesn't mean that it's always that way. So it's difficult. I don't really listen so much to other people though. I mean, I have, you know, my own you know, I mean, I don't need their opinions and stuff to make my own. But so a lot of times it's just, yeah, it kind of is annoying. I don't really want to hear it. And I don't feel like I need to defend it. And at the end of the day, I mean, honestly, with Scott, this is my third season that, you know, we filmed. But I only known Scott by finishing this third season. I didn't even know him for 2 years yet. So, I mean, it's all this pressure of whether we're totally together or getting married and all those things. I mean, we haven't really known each other that long at this point. So I don't know where all this is coming from.
Right. Well, final question. What can you tell us about this season?
I think this season for me, like I said, this season for me is great because I just do feel like I finally was able to have a voice and stand up for myself a little bit and just feel more like myself. A lot of us are going through things that are pretty emotional. So, you know, you'll definitely see that. And so there's a lot of, you know, just everyone's really, you know, open about the things that are going on in their lives. And during this time, you know, a lot was happening with a lot of us, you know. So I think it's going to be, you know, pretty dramatic in that way. And you get to, you know, see that. And just girls, you know, women just working through what comes at them. I mean, in life, it's sort of, you know, it's how you react to the things that happen to you. And I just think that's, and if you can overcome those and just, you know, survive really and just, you know, be a better person from it. So I think that you just sort of see that happen throughout this season. And, you know, there's, of course, the fights, of course, and there's also fun and we have, you know, fun trips and, you know, so it's all that we're, you know, we love each other. We hate each other. It's all of it. I mean, we're a family. So you just, you know, see all of that unfold.
Great. I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Okay. Let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose came from The Real Housewives of New York City, and it was Matilda the dog. So I have been having, like, pretty major, like, dog fever lately.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching the whole sort of, like, doggy runway fashion show thing really just drilled it home for me. And when Tinsley mentioned, I think, that Matilda was, like, 10, and then, you know, how difficult it is for, like, older dogs to be adopted.
Right.
And in that absolute moment, I was like, I want to adopt Matilda.
Yeah.
Maybe there's still a chance.
It could be.
It's here in New York. What was your rose?
My rose was in Vanderpump Rules when they talk about FOMO, and then they show that, like, fake commercial for it.
When you have a severe case of FOMO, it can cause an insatiable longing to be everywhere, with everyone, having all the fun.
Do you go on skinny dipping?
No, but I am gonna go down to the beach.
Will you tell me what it's like?
Alienation, disappointment, anxiety, the fear of missing out.
Tequila can help. Tequila is a medication used to treat FOMO and ease symptoms.
However, tequila is not for everyone. Tequila side effects may include memory loss, broken cell phones, stumbling, crying, getting horrible tattoos, embarrassing dance moves, regretful makeouts, blacking out, and full-blown meltdowns. Ask your bartender if tequila is right for you. FOMO hurts, but tequila can help.
Oh, loved it so much.
Another masterful editing experience from the Vanderpump Rules.
Give them all the Emmys.
I mean, FOMO's a real thing.
Yes.
I suffer.
Do you take tequila for it?
I'm trying to stop taking as much tequila for it. Okay, what was your thorn?
I've been wondering, what would the downside of Bo be? Like, Bo just has so many amazing traits. Like, is there anything bad about him? It turns out, yes. Bo has some really bad tattoos.
What is it?
I don't know, but they're covering so much of him, and not in, like, a great way.
I wonder if he has, like, a friend who is a tattoo artist and he was like,
no.
I will be your canvas. Just, like, experiment on me.
Here's the thing. I love good tattoos. You love tattoos. Mm-hmm. These are not those.
No. The one on his arm, which I kept getting distracted by while he was fighting with Stassi in the bed, I spent time trying to figure out what it was. Like, was it an underwater scene? Because it was, like, blue. But I'm not
but then
sure.
He has one, like, covering his whole stomach?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
Questionable choices.
Right. What was your thorn?
My thorn was actually also from The Real Housewives of New York City, and it was right at the end of the episode when Luann sort of flipped out about getting the fish room.
She thinks the fish room's great?
Yes.
The walls are green and it's navy blue covered, bed covered. It's like for a boy who's 14.
Don't insult her, because that's
don't insult her. I will insult her if I feel like it.
Ugh,
in the Berkshires, and I think we're starting to really see this a little bit more of an arrogant Luann. And I think, you know, we've seen in the previews for the season that, you know, Bethany flips out on her being like, life is not a cabaret. And I feel like it might be tied into this sort of ego that Luann has probably developed. You know, she's had quite a year, quite a successful year in terms of the cabaret. So I think it's getting to her head a little bit. And just from when she shows up and she's like, oh, can I get a yoga instructor, or can we get me a massage appointment? And then she gets assigned to this room, yeah, and that's not enough for her.
That was crazy. Like, you don't go to someone's house and say, can you book me? Like, no, you're at the mercy of your host.
Right. And I think she's a little bit punishing Dorinda because they're finally, like, on the mend. But I think Luann is still maybe holding a little bit of resentment towards her, so she's just like making her do all of these things and a little bit punishing her. So I hope the rest of the trip turns out okay. I know that, you know, there's this crazy party night with the naked chef that's coming up, so I'm hoping that, you know, that all plays out really well. And from what Dorinda mentioned, she said it was a really great time with all the ladies, so hopefully everyone will be getting along next week.
Yes.
Okay, guys, next week we will be sitting down with Tom Schwartz, talking to him about the Mexico trip, that little tiff he had with Katie, and the big romantic gesture that he presents.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.